New reporting from the New York Times reveals how Trump decided to go to war with Iran after a closed-door Israeli pitch despite deep internal divisions within his own team. Prime Minister Netanyahu presented a four-part pitch for regime change, including a video montage of potential replacement leaders such as Reza Pahlavi, J.D. Vance was absent, stuck in Azerbaijan, J.D. Vance subplot, appearing alongside Mossad chief David Barnea and military officials. Man, if I was president, I would engage in a degree of de-Israelification of America that would make McCarthy look like a fucking dove. Are you or have you ever been an affiliate of Israel? Oh, I would. And that's why you'd never be president? Yeah, they wouldn't let me. Zayd Odrasir, early European Protestants have nothing to do with modern-day evangelicals. That's because early-day European Protestants still believed in Christ and did not worship the devil, whereas modern evangelicals worship only the devil and child rape. Molestation is their god. And death. Molestation and death. They have nothing to do with the original Protestants. You think Martin Luther would look at evangelicals and be like, oh, those are my brothers in Christ? Absolutely not. And the original Protestants were like, I think the church is selling too many indulgences. That seems like a little sacrilegious to me or whatever. That's fine. I don't give a fuck about that. Do you think Epstein's still alive? As long as Israel exists, Epstein will live in many people's hearts. Please stop conflating evangelish and evangelical in the American cultural context. Yeah, a lot of people actually have gotten hung on this. To be very, very clear, when I say evangelical, I mean American evangelical, like largely Baptist, like the American you can Google it, like American evangelical. I've heard apparently there's like a European term for evangelical that means like something similar, but it's not. I promise you it's not, okay? This is a largely American phenomena. There are evangelicals of the American sort in Europe, but that's not, there isn't a perfect one-to-one translation. Evangelisch in German is just Protestant. Okay, that would be the disagreement then. I mean American evangelical, which is a very different thing. Very different thing. I did not know evangelisch meant Protestant in German. That's interesting, but I do want to be clear what I'm talking about, yeah. The president then turned to General Kane. General, what do you think? General Kane replied, sir, this is, in my experience, standard operating procedure for the Israelis. They oversell and their plans are not always well developed. They know they need us and that's why they're hard selling. That's true, yeah. And then we did it anyway. The president took the word of Benjamin Netanyahu over our own fucking Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Kane, insane, amazing digital circus reference. They really do mean everything for Israel. Yeah. Iran cuts off direct diplomacy with the United States. Yeah. After Trump's genocidal threat, Iran responded by cutting all diplomatic channels. So whatever happens, we're hurtling towards it. I don't know why oops and error has occurred. I'm not really privy to that. AOC tells troops to ignore orders. Yeah. Pretty much the only thing you can really do, I guess, at this point. There it is. Dated Brent, i.e. spot Brent. Crude hits 144 a barrel, a new all-time high. Cool, all-time high. Hitting records. Let's go, boys. Very, very nice. The goats. You're dooming, and Trump just imposed the greatest carbon tax the world has ever seen. I.e. chief, current oil and gas crisis worse than 1973, 1979, and 2022 altogether. The world's never experienced a disruption of energy supply such magnitude. I think a lot of people really don't understand the gravity of this. Like, the demand for petroleum and its derivative products is largely inelastic. Like, the world runs in it, you know? It's not like a luxury good, you could intake less, cedar wood for fancy furniture because, you know, fancy furniture gets more expensive. You need petroleum and everything that it produces. The world runs in it. You might have, if you don't have it, like kind of a runaway inflationary effect where everything ends up getting more expensive. This chart is a live wash. Crude is at 115. You don't know what you're talking about. The chart refers to dated Brent. That's the price that people are paying on the spot for oil. What you're talking about is the future price for Brent, because typically oil is bought in advance. You pay a contractual price for a future exchange of oil. This is what people are paying on the spot. Think of it like the difference between getting a subscription service at a discount versus like running up and getting the payment right there. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that's fine. It gives me an opportunity to explain the difference. And I appreciate you providing me that framing device, you know, all's well. Yes. Historically, the dated Brent and the futures Brent prices have more or less perfectly corresponded. There was no reason to assume that the price of oil in the future would be that different from the price of oil now. But right now, that is not the case because people are still artificially depressing the futures market with short sells and also a lot of market delusion. That being said, that can only last for so long. It's hard to read where the last peak was. 2022, during the inflationary crisis. The specific branch you're describing in the U.S. would be called evangelicalismus. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's only going to get worse. Iran has attacked Saudi Arabia's Jubail petrochemical complex. This is a big one, no? Saudi Aramco? The heart of the kingdom's downstream sector, its Revolutionary Guard said. A $20 billion joint venture between Aramco and Dow that was shut down last week. Who dilly? Is it naive that I'm actually scared now? No, I think that's a pretty legitimate and justified reaction. Unironically, is there anything Iran could do to make you drop support for them at this point in the Hitler war? Dude, I don't know. It kind of feels like they're fighting to save the world right now. They'd have to do something pretty goddamn bad. Like, the Allies committed war crimes when they were fighting against the Nazis. But, I mean, the overall moral over and under on who was in the right there is pretty clear. What if they nuke a desalination plant? Shouldn't have put a desalination plant where the nuke wanted to be. Type shit. What's the actual reason the U.S. and Israel want Iran, though? Israel wants death. That's pretty much it. American evangelicals who control the government believe that the rapture will come about if Israel gets the death that they want. And a lot of very powerful and wealthy people are really invested in kind of a inertial sense, like there's a lot of momentum building in the continued use of Israel as a forward base for our military and tech-based contracts, you know? So there's a heavy investment in like the continued existence of Israel as a testing ground and an investment platform for their technology and future prospects. So a lot of powerful and wealthy people are interested in this for their own reasons. And also a lot of people, powerful and normal people, are interested in bringing about the end of the world. That's the gist of it. Do Israel people think they're doing the apocalypse stuff? That the rapture business is Christian theology. It's or evangelical theology. It's not Jewish. No. By and large, the Jewish supremacists in Israel aren't trying to bring about the end of the world. They just think that they're just doing Lebensraum stuff. You know, they just want to conquer and conquer and conquer. What pushes Israel towards wanting to kill Iranians, Palestinians? It's a nation founded on ethno-supremacism. That's like the explicit agenda of the state, and also they've been given almost unlimited power by the United States in terms of weaponry, money, and deference from the United Nations. Also, they like rape? Yes, the Israeli national pastime. U.S. and Israeli officials gathered first in the cabinet room adjacent to the Oval Office, then Mr. Netanyahu headed downstairs for the main event, a highly classified presentation on Iran for Trump and his team in the White House Situation Room, which was rarely used for in-person meetings with foreign leaders. But Netanyahu isn't a foreign leader, is he? He's a joint leader of Amir Israel. Mr. Trump sat down, but not in his usual position at the head of the room's mahogany conference table. No, wouldn't want to assume a position of superiority over Emperor Netanyahu. Instead, the president took a seat on one side, facing the large screens mounted on the wall. Mr. Netanyahu sat on the other side, directly opposite the president. Appearing on the screen behind the prime minister was David Barnea, director of Mossad, Israel's foreign intelligence agency, as well as Israeli military officials. Susie Wiles, White House Chief of Staff, sat in the far end of the table. Marco Rubio took his regular seat. General Dan Kane, Pete Hegseth, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that's Kane, not Pete Hegseth, who generally sat together in such settings, were on one side. Joining them was John Ratcliffe, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. Presentation Mr. Netanyahu would make over the next hour would be pivotal in setting the U.S. and Israel on the path towards major armed conflict. Isn't it cool how, like 1 month ago, Republicans and Democrats were calling you anti-Semitic if you said we were entering this war for Israel? Have you memory hold that yet? That was a real position. They treated it like a conspiracy theory. If you went on CNN, you could find any number of talking heads saying that it was a conspiracy theory. That was real. That really happened a month ago. Like I said a little while ago in a clip that I'm happy to say got some buzz on Twitter, it's always nice because usually they get buzz from... Usually when I get buzz on Twitter, it's not from people liking me, I'll tell you that much. The position of the U.S. government, both Republican and Democrat, is that American people must choose between the feelings of Jewish people and the future of, I guess, Western civilization, the world? The future of the world, yeah. And when you're forcing people to make that choice, I think it's pretty clear where a lot of people are going to stand, you know, given that opportunity. This account of how Trump took the U.S. into war is drawn from reporting for a forthcoming book. Of course, obviously. Regime change inside the imperial presidency of Donald Trump. It reveals how the deliberations inside the administration highlighted the president's instincts, his inner circle's fractures, and the way he runs the White House. It draws on extensive interviews conducted on the condition of anonymity to recount internal discussions and sensitive issues. Always a fucking book. Tapper, you've done it again. And it's the emotions of the Jew they made up in their head as well. Yeah, like I said, that's their argument. In the Situation Room on February 11th, Mr. Netanyahu made a hard sell, suggesting Iran was ripe for regime change and expressing the belief that a joint U.S.-Israeli mission could finally bring an end to the Islamic Republic. Played a video, including a montage of potential new leaders who could take over the country if the hardline government fell. Among those was Son of the Shah, Mr. Netanyahu and his team outlined conditions they portrayed as pointing to near certain victory. Iran's ballistic missile program could be destroyed in a few weeks. Right. The regime would be so weakened they could not choke off the Strait of Hormuz, and the likelihood that Iran would land blows against U.S. interests in neighboring countries was assessed as minimal. Worth noting, of course, they are lying here. Netanyahu knew perfectly well that this was all fake. He's not stupid. He knew this was a lie. He just wanted to commit U.S. support because he knows that U.S. politicians and media will never, ever, ever turn their back on Israel. You know? They just get away with everything. He knows that Trump is stupid, and he knows that he can do whatever he wants. Besides, Mossad's intelligence indicated that street protests inside Iran would begin again, and with the impetus of the Israeli spy agency helping to foment riots and rebellion, an intense bombing campaign could foster the conditions for the Iranian opposition to overthrow the regime. The Israelis also raised the prospect of Iranian Kurdish fighters crossing the border from Iraq to open a ground front in the northwest, further stretching the regime's forces and accelerating its collapse. Obvious, all lies. Sounds good to me, Trump told the prime minister. Yippee. U.S. officials assessed the first two objectives noted by Netanyahu were achievable with American intelligence and military power. They assessed the third and fourth parts of Mr. Netanyahu's pitch, which included the possibility of Kurds mounting a ground invasion of Iran, were detached from reality. When Mr. Trump joined the meeting, Mr. Ratcliffe briefed him on the assessment. The CIA director used one word to describe the Israeli prime minister's regime change scenarios. Farcical. Mr. Rubio cut in. In other words, it's bullshit, he said, knowing that Trump doesn't know what farcical means. Mr. Vance expressed strong skepticism about the prospect of regime change. The president then turned to General Kane. General Kane said, yep, Israelis lie all the time. That's all they know how to do. It's their other national pastime, along with rape. Trump said then, I will ignore the advice of everyone around me and instead do what Israel tells me to do. Yep, yep, yep. Israel really does have videos of him raping children. I really think it's just that people like Dana White and all the evangelicals that are close to him in the office are just more persuasive, you know? People like Lindsey Graham or Hegseth, I just think they're more persuasive. Rubio, Paula White, thank you, not Dana White. I mixed them up because they're both fucking crazy. Paula White. You know, people like Rubio will wave their hand and be like, yeah, don't do it, Mr. President. Meanwhile, Lindsey Graham will, like, suck Trump off in the Oval Office and spend 40 minutes talking about what a great visionary leader he'll be regarded as by, you know, historians. Like, Trump's already gotten away with the pedo stuff, you know? I mean, gotten away with. It's not like anything could have stopped that. He would constantly ask, and then what? But Mr. Trump would often seem to hear only what he wanted to hear. Wow. Why is Graham such a Holden Bloodfeast? Because he is an evangelical. He wants to end the world. Or at least he's beholden to their interests. I don't know how personally convinced he is. He's part of their block. Isn't Rubio Catholic, though? Yeah, but Rubio opposed this war. Rubio just wants to conquer Cuba. Rubio's not keen on Iran. Who's the front runner for being the peacemaker? Not a single person in Trump's regime is interested in peace. They're just different levels of convinced by Netanyahu's pitch for ending the world. Or actually, Lindsey Graham's a Southern Baptist. Oh yeah, there are no Southern Baptist evangelicals. That's true. Vance the skeptic. Oh my, dude, Vance is going to run 2028 so hard on being like the guy who opposed the Iran war. Tucker Carlson as well. Yeah, Hegseth's in favor. Levitt is deferential. Kane is unwilling to criticize. Everyone deferred to the president's instincts. They had seen him make bold decisions, take on unfathomable risks, and somehow come out on top. No one would impede him now. Yeah. Alex Jones is now begging Dems to stop Trump Lamau. You know, it doesn't, you shouldn't. All these people who supported Trump but are now offering criticisms are just looking to stay relevant for 2028. They're aware of the fact that Trump's legacy is going to go down in flames no matter what. That's it. None of them believe in anything. They're actually more dangerous than people are still pro-Trump. People like Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, and so on, they are more of a threat in the future than anyone who's still ride or die with Trump, because at least their zeal is a kind of conviction. You got to cover that whole Yedin law story in France. This is crazy. The government's backing a bill to ban criticism of Israel. That's cool. I mean, yeah, you guys have to choose. What do you value taking into the future? The whole of Western civilization or Israel? I don't know. Make that choice. Democrats choose Israel. Republicans obviously choose Israel. The French government is backing a draft law based on the idea that hatred of Israel is inseparable from hatred of the Jewish people. Cool. This is supported by what, 10% of the French population? Maybe.